Oh, no, Tim. Hi, Keith.
Hey. Hey. How's it going, Gerard?
That's fine.
What do you mean it's fine? You won.
I know.
Green is the color. Football is the game. We're all together, and winning is our aim. So cheer us on through the sun and rain. Saskatchewan Roughriders is our name.
Hey, welcome to the Green is the Color podcast. This is episode 320. I'm your host, Francis Ward, with Gerard Saretsky and Mr. K. Tim is away this week. How is everyone?
Good evening.
Hey, I'm not doing too badly, all considered.
That's
where's
pretty
Tim
good.
At? I was hoping for him to come and rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just not committed. He's not hardcore. He's a disappointment.
He's not a disappointment. I after suffering a loss in double overtime, I was expecting to face the Troika, the triumvirate. But here we are.
Oh, come on now. We would never rub that in your face.
I wouldn't.
Who do you think you are?
Speaking of which,
let's get into it.
We have a football game to talk about. Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen a crazy game like this, and I guess we'd have to go back to week one. And, of course, we're talking about Riders and Lions, and the Riders won 41-38 in the West Division semifinal. Crazy game. Mm-hmm. Crazy white knuckle, fingers crossed kind of game.
Coronary, yeah,
back and forth, and at least the right team came out on top, I think I can say. Sorry, Keith, but the right team came out on top, and you know what? It was a valiant effort by the Lions.
Excellent effort, yeah.
It was an amazing effort by the Lions, and you know, Travis Lule really has come into his own the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, I don't think, at least I couldn't have seen this coming. Him going 28 of 49 for 357 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Pretty darn good game. Seven different receivers caught balls in that game from Lule. So pretty respectable. On the other side of the ball, we have Darren Durant going 20 of 37 for 310 yards, three touchdowns, and most importantly, no interceptions and no fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
So where should we start, gentlemen?
Emmanuel Arsenal. Wowzers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the catch at the end of regulation?
Yeah, absolutely.
The dude can amazing. Jump.
He's got good vertical.
Mm.
That was amazing.
No, he gets open very well.
I don't agree, Francis, that the right team won. I actually think that this was a pretty even contest for the most part. I thought we totally owned the first half.
Absolutely, yeah, I did.
And you guys, you know, like you did the week before, made the adjustments at halftime, came back and took care of business, which is impressive to see a football team do. But we sure gave you a run for your money at the end. And then, you know, in spite of, you know, you think normally a two-point conversion is challenging enough, but we thought, no, let's take a procedure call, move ourselves back a bit, see how that works out, make it a little bit more challenging, and yet managed to do it as well. And unfortunately, went to Paul McCallum just a little bit too early there, and you guys were able to sneak one through.
Well, it was third down. Would you have gone for it?
No, of course not. Of course not. I'm making a joke. Sorry.
Good. That's.
I'm really trying at this point.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Manny Arsenal catch. I mean, it was a phenomenal leap and a catch, but why the hell on third down? Was it third down? Anyway, it was 7 seconds left in the game. Why the hell are we blitzing our safety on that play? Why isn't there nine guys standing in the end zone ready to deflect, knock down, or intercept a pass? Like, because of all the boneheaded plays all season long defensively that we've seen, that's got to be up there. I could not believe that. You don't blitz your safety on the last play of the game when they need a Hail Mary touchdown in order to tie it.
We're famous, though, for Hail Mary touchdowns against the Riders. Like, you go back, is it 4 or 5 years? Like, didn't every Western Division semifinal end that way with a Hail Mary against the Riders?
But exactly. You'd
possibly,
think they'd know what to do in that situation. Like, that it was just boneheaded.
But you got to remember, Francis, that a lot of the pressure was put on Lule early on this, in the game they blitzed a lot, and they made him rush his throws. And with the throws he hit the ground on and were overthrown were on blitzes. So they're playing the law of averages.
Yeah, but still, it's the last play of the game.
It is the last play of the game. You still do that. You still do that.
Yeah. Down the field and, you know, hope and pray.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. But you know
what? Exactly what happened.
You expect the defenders to actually knock the ball down, and on a blitz you rush the play, and hopefully it's incomplete. And
well, you also expect there's more than three DBs standing in the end zone.
Right. Yeah.
Like, come on.
There were three DBs down there. Yeah.
Like, I almost got a heart attack. Thank you very much, Gary Echeverry.
Well, I had two of them, actually.
I got some pills you can take for that.
We'll need them for next week.
That's right. Yeah, the one thing everybody's been saying is, you know, if you're going to go out, what a great game to go out on, you know, in terms of going into double overtime and keeping it exciting. Where I was, the guy next to me actually got up and started pacing around a bit. He was pretty thrown. And the other thing, too, is we were watching in a bar, and there are a couple of Rough Rider fans in the bar, too. And I got to say, they're, you know, I've been not too keen on Rough Rider fans lately. Sorry, Rough Rider fans. But these guys were absolute gentlemen and totally gracious, and I hope they felt that it went both ways, you know. But when they won, they were very gracious and saying, you know, what a phenomenal game to watch and see, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of the outcome. And so it's nice to be reminded that not all
Rider fans are douchebags.
Well, right. No, I'll say this. I'll say not all Rough Rider fans are the guy who's two rows and four seats to the left of me at the game. Because that mm-hmm. guy's a douchebag. Sorry, douchebag. But you are.
Well, let's talk about that first half. That was
it was terrible.
Slow for the Riders, and they were down 9 points to the Lions and sure had trouble moving the ball. And again, you know, Keith, you mentioned it. I'm shocked that they made adjustments at halftime. This is a team over the last couple of years is notorious for not changing anything at halftime. But
I didn't think Durant looked that hot coming out of the half. But it took him a little while to get going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't right away because he sure looked terrible in the first half. Eh? Like his passes were just not going to the right place.
He was very nervous looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could tell he was nervous and he was overthrowing people left and right. But he was able to settle down and make some plays, and there was that huge one to Western Dressler for the touchdown.
He had a couple overthrows too in the first half too, that could have changed the course of the game as well. When that overthrow early in the game, the Dressler overthrow.
He had some open receivers that he just
was wide open on one.
Absolutely, that would have been a different, much different game.
Let's talk defensively here while we're talking about regulation. The defense, despite all the knocks against it in terms of stopping the run, they did a pretty decent job on Jamal Robertson. Yeah. He had a big carry of 37 yards, but otherwise, you know, BC didn't run the ball very much. He had 11 carries. Lule himself carried it five times. Robertson ended up with 75 yards. On the other side of the ball, a little bit more concerted effort to get Cates the ball. He rushed 15 times for a decent 65 yards and a touchdown. His longest run was 21 yards, so offensively, in terms of the run, it was decent.
And he caught some good passes, and he made some plays when he had to do it.
You know what else I'm going to give you guys credit for, and you may not agree with me, is I thought special teams, you did a pretty good job of containing Jonas mm-hmm. Davis. He had a couple of good bursts, but for the most part, you pinned him pretty deep. And he's a hard guy to pin deep. I mean, Hamilton figured it out last week and really contained him, but lesson was learned by the Riders as well, and mm-hmm. you guys did a really good job of covering him.
Yeah.
So, credit where credit's due. Nice special teams coverage.
Jonas Davis, speaking of, had 58 yards in punt returns. He had a 9.7 yard return average. If you look on the other side of the field, Ryan Grace Mullen, the man, the myth, the hair, had 17 yards in punt returns and a 4.2 yard average.
What do you have in kickoff?
Kickoff returns, he had one return for 24 yards.
Yes.
Weston Dresser, on his one punt return, returned it 17 yards mm-hmm. for a 17-yard average.
Maybe you should give it to that guy.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should have been doing that all year long.
Anyways, it didn't
worry
affect
about getting the guy winded.
It didn't affect the outcome, so.
But I thought that, honestly, I thought that the first half, any success that you guys had in the first half, really you owed to good field position. that I thought you started off the ball pretty well in terms of your field position in the first half. So I think McCallum had a couple of kicks that weren't great. But beyond that, you know, obviously, although Grace Mullen wasn't brilliant, you know, you started off in a good position and got the ball down the field.
Yeah, we're starting in the 55-yard line lot.
Yeah. So your special teams wasn't terrible.
No, they're actually not bad.
Speaking of adjustments, the Lions got 5 sacks in this game, 3 of which were in the first half, and this is still a problem for Saskatchewan. And not all of these were on the blitz. Some of these when BC was rushing only 3 guys. So pass protection is still an issue. And maybe that's also on Durant, that he needs to get out and run when he feels that pressure. He had 3 running attempts for 14 yards. And I thought he could have done more of that, especially if he's nervous and he's not making his throws, then he should look to run it more and just get him comfortable.
I agree. Yeah, he it took him to the third quarter too, and took that great hit, head over heels hit. He said he wasn't into the game, or he wasn't focused or whatever, you know, and it sort of spurred him on. But it took him like almost 3 quarters to do it, and we can't do it against Calgary.
Well, that obviously got to let him get hit early.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't know if I like that plan.
I don't know what else to say about this game. I and I know you posted about it, Francis, big credit to former BC Lion Jason Claremont, who obviously has not only changed uniforms but clearly changed allegiances. Jerk. He had a great game.
He was let go. He was traded.
No, he was let go.
He was let go.
He wasn't re-signed.
No, that's right. He was let go because of salary.
Right.
Well, not just that. His productivity in BC was not as strong as it was. He wasn't, you know,
He was injured, too.
Well, but not just that. In terms of the offensive scheme, he didn't have the same place. There wasn't the same place for him that they used to have in terms of the scheme that they were trying to build. And, you know, there are certain players who their time has come with a particular team. And when they go to another team, all of a sudden they find new success. Case in point, Otis Floyd. Obviously didn't have a good week this week, but has had just a phenomenal year in Hamilton. And, you know, he wasn't as productive, and he wasn't, he wasn't doing as well as in BC, and he needed the change, and the change has worked out for him really well. It's nice to see that it happened for Claremont, too, because it's taken him a long time to come around, and for him to have a great game, it's you know, good for him.
But
not the right week for it, but...
He had 7 good years in BC, and he did lots. He won 2 awards, Canadian Player. And he did everything he could do in BC.
Oh, exactly, you know? Exactly. It was time for a change, and like I say, it's good that he's ended up somewhere where there's an opportunity to be successful, and that it worked out. So I don't really think he's a jerk, but I'm obligated to say that.
He's a jerk yesterday for that few minutes.
That's right.
No, I'm saying the overtime, the Arsenault non-catch, that was not a catch in the overtime there. I wanted to say that before we move on to other stuff. But
was that the one
that was not a catch?
Line?
That was not a catch.
Was that the one that they reviewed and everything?
Yeah, that was not a catch.
Yeah, the ball was on the turf.
Yeah, that was a bad call. Sorry, Keith, but that was a bad call.
Well, if you want to sit here and
it's not like it's the first bad call all year. Come on.
I know.
You know one thing?
The ball rolled in the ground. I mean, it was not a catch.
You won anyway. Let it go.
I know. So I'd say that.
The one thing I noticed is that there were a lot of drop passes by Lions receivers, especially the one by G-Roy there that should have been a touchdown. And kind of uncharacteristic, at least from what I've seen of this team.
Not this season. There have been lots of drops this season.
Oh, I haven't watched them, I guess, so.
Wow.
I mean, BC was right in this game. And too bad. But getting back to Claremont, he made it was a great play, and it's hard to believe that it was only his first touchdown, regular season touchdown as a Rider, but it was a
It wasn't a regular season touchdown, Francis.
Well, whatever. It's whatever. It was a non-exhibition touchdown, let's put it that way. Yeah. Okay. It was a great block by Chris Getzlaff to get him around the corner and into the end zone. And Getzlaff has kind of been the forgotten man lately. He only had 1 catch in this game.
Very, very, very crucial catch, though.
The previous play, right?
Very crucial.
So that's kind of too bad. They have to get him involved more. But otherwise, it was a great block by him, so I thought that should be acknowledged to the old guy.
I want to ask you guys, too, that block that G. Roy Simon made that they showed over and over on television, that wasn't that good a block, was it? I mean, he just sort of stood there and rolled, like, yeah, sort of rolled off the guy. I mean, it was important. It slowed him down.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, I've seen plays where Paris Jackson is out there. Jarius Jackson, the quarterback, throws a massive block, you know? And I know that G. Roy is not the big specimen of a man that Jarius Jackson is, but at the same time, I didn't think it was as amazing a block as we made out to be.
True, but you know what? It was effective enough. He held him up. He gave Lulay protection, and it was enough to actually just throw him aside. That's all you have to do to give an extra second. And he it was a great. I thought it was a great block.
Okay, Francis, what do you think?
I don't even know what block you're talking about. I guess I missed that.
Well, that Lulay touchdown with to Black.
Oh, who cares? I don't remember it.
You must have been dipping a chip at that point.
He's probably in the bathroom. Yeah.
Thank you, Gerard.
But no, that was Keith. That was a great block.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't think that at all because I judge a block on actually like knocking the other dude down, not just holding him up for an extra couple of seconds. But you're right. It was effective. It did buy him the time that he needed.
If you think of a block on a field goal, like there's I used to block for field goals, and I was the outside guy. And
did you play football or?
Yeah, I played high school, and what you do is you push the guy to the outside. And that extra second allows that, like, the guys coming in from around mostly block the field goals, you know, if you miss a block. But G. Roy Simon pushed, I think it was Tad Cornegay, actually. He pushed on the outside and, held him enough, and Lulay had all day, you know.
Okay, then I will recant my statement. Mm-hmm. Great block, G. Roy.
So do we like the overtime format with the mini games that could potentially go on forever?
Love it.
What do you do?
Well, I don't know. Do you just play a regular 5-minute?
Would you have a tie on a playoff game? You can't do that.
Well, no, but is this?
Yeah, Francis, you moron.
Well, no, I was afraid for a moment there that this we'd play a third mini game and this would keep going on and on and on.
Well,
it would have been awesome.
I mean, that's what you do. It's until sudden death, until someone loses. That's how you do it. Of course, you do that.
All right, I'm just asking. God. Anything else on this game?
Yeah, I gotta say, BC Lions, I've given you a bad time on this show all year long. Good game, you know? A win would have been better, of course, but you gave us hope, you made it exciting, there were some great plays in there on every single side of the ball, and Paul McCallum, fantastic season you've had, BC Lions defense, really good work. Thank you very much for a really good season, I'm sorry that it's ended, but we'll see you next year.
No, so I was going to say, I thought they were going to win last night, and they, 7 of 10 wins, and Travis Lulay's great for next year.
Yeah, they're a very young team. They're a very young team, with the exception of Paul McCallum, who is old but awesome.
And Buono be back next year?
You know, this is the one thing. I was talking with somebody about this today, and in terms of changes to make for the BC Lions, the only ones I really think that they need to make, other than getting Highland into the safety position, and I know that that's just because of injury to Sanchez right now, is they have to look at coaching. Because I'm sorry, but Wally Bono on the sideline just rolling his eyes time and time again at his own players and just clearly disgusted with his own players.
Well, maybe he needs a change, you know.
Well, that's what I think, is I think that there may be a point now. I mean, I'm not going to second-guess the man's intelligence in terms of football. No question.
No.
But in terms of actually coaching individuals, I'm wondering if there is, at this point, a disconnect between what he's trying to do and what's actually happening on the field. And it doesn't mean that he should go away from the football operation, because, like I say, the man's brilliant. But it's a question mark for me, is he effective in terms of coaching those players and getting them prepared in the way that they need to be to execute what he's trying to do? And I don't know. It seems, you know, just from his reactions on the sideline, I'm not sure. And let's give Richie Hall a chance.
Yeah.
No, he's coming back to Saskatchewan. You can't have him.
We hope.
What a bonehead move to fire Richie Hall. I'm sorry. Oh, I mean, I know that he wants to bring in his own guy or whatever, but
like, Kavis Reed is going to be an improvement?
Well, the thing is, Richie Hall, I mean, as soon as he got a free hand, he turned that team around. You know,
exactly.
They didn't get into the playoffs, but he turned that team around, and it's coaches that do that. It's not players that turn their season around; it's coaches. Mm-hmm. And credit where credit's due. Really sorry to see you get the bums rush there, Richie. But like I say, if a job opens up in BC and you need a reference letter, it's not going to carry any weight at all. But I'll be happy to write it.
Okay, I don't know how he got under Richie Hall when you're talking about Lions and Riders, but anyhow.
We're talking about Let's trace those steps for you, Francis, if you'd like.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's get back to Lions and Riders, and actually let's look ahead to next week and Riders and Stamps. And I have to be honest with you, I'm not feeling great about our prospects next week in Calgary, despite the fact that a third of the stadium will be green. You know, if you have this much trouble stopping a rookie quarterback, what are you going to do against Henry Burris, who's had a week's worth of rest and preparation, an extra week's worth of rest and preparation?
He's had 2 weeks
of rest. It can be a detriment. Sure it can.
He barely played in week 19.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Well, not everyone is, but you know what? Things happen. And Burris, if you get to Burris quick and early, he can be rattled. And we've seen that before.
Burris, it's possible that Burris may have an off game now and then, eh?
Sure.
No.
But I mean,
you're fine. You're fine. Huffnagel's lost his touch.
You know, I'm not that worried, except that just that you get to Burris quickly and you stop the running game. He's got a pass and
wait, you've seen our defensive line, right?
Yes, I have actually.
You have, Gerard?
I've seen our offensive line. And you know what? Brent Johnson will be out there and whatever the extent of his injuries, I don't know. And I don't know
Omar Brent Martin's Johnson. Status. Well, actually, he'll be at home watching the game on TV.
Well, what's the status then? What's the status?
Brent Hawkins. Oh, he's
whatever.
He's done.
What's the status?
I don't know. Why don't you look it up? Why are you asking me? I don't know. I don't know the status of everyone's injuries the day after a game. I don't even think the coaching staff knows yet.
Anyways, Hawkins will be there next week, and he'll be putting pressure on Burris.
Well, I don't know.
We'll see, Francis. We'll see.
I honestly think the Riders, I think it's a pretty even match because I think Calgary has been in a big slide, and the Riders were too, but you seem to be coming out of it a little bit better. You got two wins under your belt in a row, and certainly a couple of, well, I don't know as much the Edmonton game. I didn't think Edmonton played brilliantly. I mean, Ricky Way was better, but then you figured out what to do to contain him and took care of it. Mm-hmm. But I thought you beat a pretty challenging BC team, and mm-hmm. maybe that's a bit of ego for the home team here, but I think I think you're going in with some momentum, and I think you're going to be just fine. But Montreal is going to kick your ass. So there.
We'll see what Toronto says about that, though.
Oh, should we move on to that stupid game?
Let's do that game quickly.
God, I'm disgusted.
The Argonauts upset.
Other team.
Yeah, the stepchild. They beat the Ticats. Bit of an upset. An awesomely exciting game. 16-13.
Not really, actually.
Well, it was exciting in the last couple of minutes. I'll give them that. But
I wouldn't say it was a bit of an upset either because I was really upset.
Kevin Glenn cannot win the big game. He cannot win a big game, and they're really Hamilton's 9-9. They're a mediocre team. You know, Belfay can't coach above that. It seems. So
I disagree with that. I think Hamilton's a great team. I think they had a fantastic season, and I think they're playing really well. And I was I was disgusted to see them fall apart.
And they did. And Kevin Glenn has not played a. He cannot win a big game.
No, you can't pin this on Kevin Glenn. It was other turnovers. It was the fumbles, actually.
True.
That allowed this to allow Toronto to score. And it wasn't Kevin Glenn. And he came out of the game for a while. So I imagine they could have, you know, moved the ball a little bit better. And while we're on that subject, how about Ricky Foley? Were we impressed with Ricky Foley in this game?
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't either. And I think that the play where Kevin Glenn got hurt and had to go out, I don't know how this wasn't penalized. I don't know he had Kevin Glenn and was pulling him to the ground, and when he pulled him, he also twisted him, and I think that's when his injury came. And I don't get how that doesn't get penalized when this league depends on the quarterback and goes out of its way to protect the quarterback, and in the playoffs, in full view of everyone, doesn't do anything to protect the quarterback. I thought that was that was a Bush League move.
Also, the Bush League was also the taunting, too, was Bush League.
Oh, yeah. Like, grow up. Really? You got to make a crying gesture with your hands?
Like, not only once, like twice or three times.
No wonder they were happy in BC that Foley didn't come back.
Yeah.
We weren't initially. We were pretty upset about it, actually. But he's not my favorite guy by a long stretch. No. So
grow up, you immature brat.
You know, the other thing, though, when we talk about Hamilton, let's just make a point of how many points did the defense allow during this game.
Mm-hmm.
Defense did pretty well.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, back to like Glenn, though. I mean, last year they imploded against BC, so Glenn can't win the big game. And I, you know what?
I don't think that at all. I think this is a young team that was nervous, and that came through. And at critical times, they couldn't make plays. And Arlen Bruce should have had that catch. It was a little bit high. He still should have had that. That was a catchable ball. And, you know, you give Toronto credit. They played well defensively.
They did play well. Yeah, they did.
They did what they needed to do on offense, and they came out with it. But I don't think that that's all on Kevin Glenn.
No, it isn't. But I mean,
I don't think they get to where they are without Kevin Glenn.
No, but he just didn't play a good game.
I was in transit when Porter was playing. How did Porter look?
He scored a touchdown.
He ran one in, but he wasn't anything special.
But he wasn't in very long, so.
Yeah.
So does Hamilton need another quarterback behind Glenn?
I think so.
Yes.
How old's Glenn? Does anyone know?
34?
Yeah.
33? He's been in the league 10 years, so.
I think Ricky Ray may go to Hamilton.
Well, actually, the rumors going around was because Ricky Ray is a free agent that Winnipeg is going to make a move to get Ricky Ray.
Oh, God. That's Ricky Ray. Like, listen, Ricky. Vancouver, yes. Hamilton, you can drive to interesting places. But really? Really? Come on. Actually, you know what? I take that back about Vancouver. I've come 180 on Travis Lule, and I want to see Travis Lule next season. I would love to see Ricky Ray in Hamilton. Hamilton is my Eastern team, and I'd love to see him do well there. Nothing against Kevin Glenn. I think Kevin Glenn's made an incredible contribution to that team, and I agree with you, Francis, that I wouldn't pin anything on him. I think he's given them a good season.
He's a great quarterback, yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to see Ricky Ray in Hamilton. That'd be great. In Winnipeg, I would vomit in a sock and then beat myself with the sock. I'm just that disgusted.
Well, I think he'd be stupid just to go to Winnipeg based on the team alone. I don't think this is a very good team. He has, with Tillman and Edmonton, he's got a much better chance of turning that around a lot more quickly.
Yeah, but you know, it's another situation where I think we talked about this before, where moving him will free up some salary dollars in Edmonton. But the other thing is, I think, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, that there's a point, this goes back to the discussion we're having about Otis Floyd and Jason Clairmont, there's a point where it's time to mix it up a bit and, you know, take a different look. And Ricky Ray might be there. I mean, he's been at Edmonton for years. There's been
7-8 years,
There's been some decline there in terms of the performance of the team. Maybe it's time to just look in a new situation and start again.
Okay, let's look ahead to Toronto and Montreal. Is this still Montreal's game to win?
Well, they've Toronto's beaten them twice out of four times.
Well, I don't know that we can count the last game with all the battle of the backups.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's a momentum thing, you know. So
Montreal is going to annihilate Toronto.
I don't agree.
You mean annihilate?
Yes.
I don't agree.
Well, let's go back and look at Theo Lemon's numbers. He threw for, what, 134 yards in this game?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, it's shocking that, I don't know, it's shocking that Toronto can continue to win despite their quarterback. Like, how many times, like, how can you say that in the CFL? You win despite your quarterback. At some point, you think this has to catch up to Toronto, because if they can't, you know, if they can't air it out, if they don't have a solid passing game, you know, there's only so far Corey Boyd can carry them. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're going to be the exception to the rule. But, I just got to think at some point this is going to come back to bite them in the ass. Like,
the guy
threw for hardly nothing in the first half. It was brutal. Yeah. And actually, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Jim Barker is not the coach of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's Richie Hall.
Oh, wait, what did I say?
No, it's not Richie Hall.
No, sorry, you think... Oh, now I'm confused with double negatives. You think
I thought I used a double negative, but I guess I didn't.
Jim
Barker is the coach of the year.
Baloney.
Bar none. He gets to the... After a 3-15 season, and he goes to the East Final?
What was their record?
3-15.
No, this year.
9-9, wasn't it?
9-9, a mediocre team. I know they went 6 games more, but I don't know.
No.
In 1 year, you're telling me that's not Coach of the Year worthy?
The thing is, you can't say he's Coach of the Year in spite of his quarterback. He's kind of responsible for that situation.
But that means he's doing other things really well to compensate.
For his
He motivates his players, you know.
He's compensating for his main failing.
In the end, it's the results that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So I think it is, and sure. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what I think.
You may have your watermelon tied a little too tight around your head there, but that's fine.
They may beat Montreal.
Oh, it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
It's possible. It's possible that they may ask us to play the Grey Cup on their behalf. It's unlikely, though.
No, I know exactly, but anything happens in the CFL.
You know what? Actually, all kidding aside, you're right. It is possible, but I really don't think it's going to happen. No. I just don't think that Mark Trestman has lost his game that much. Montreal is going to go in anything but 1,000% prepared. And I'm sorry, Jim Barker, Coach of the Year, you're going to get destroyed.
And add in 50,000 screaming fans at the Big O, and Cleo Lemon's going to look like a deer in headlights if he tries to throw.
If he tries to throw, you don't think he's going to try and throw?
I don't think he's going to try to throw very much.
But he'll try like once or twice, right?
Yeah, just, you know, to see what happens. Yeah.
We'll scramble.
Anyhow.
Wouldn't that be interesting if Toronto wins the East with no pass attempts?
You guys will be eating your words.
That's going to be Twilight Zone. That's total Twilight Zone right there. Okay,
so does that mean that we're at Picks of the Week?
When Girard takes a long shot to win, Francis's reaction might seem unkind. But when Girard makes his Picks of the Week, you know Girard. He blows my mind,
Okay, so I think I know what your picks are, Girard, but I'm going to ask you to tell them anyway. Who do you think? Well, we'll just recap for last week. I have in my notes that you picked BC. That can't be right. I must have written that down.
No, you were fantasizing.
I was dreaming. You did pick Hamilton, so that wasn't correct.
Yeah, I knew that was, yeah.
Yeah, but so 50% so far. So for the final, in the East, Toronto versus Montreal.
Well, I'll go with the averages, law of averages, Montreal.
Probably the smart choice. Mm. And then Saskatchewan in Calgary.
Saskatchewan's on a bit of a momentum swing, and I'll go with Saskatchewan, even though, they're my team. But, I mean, our team, I think Burris will be rusty, and he'll make a few mistakes.
I would love to see that angry / confused, mouth wide open look.
Like, holding up your hands,
yeah.
Mouth wide open, yeah.
What's
your interference call? Yeah.
I would love to see that all game long on Sunday.
Yeah. And we could do it.
Well, I got to say, I hope you're right on both counts, but minimally one, because if it is a Toronto-Calgary Grey Cup, that I would have a hard time coming out of the kitchen for.
Yeah, I don't want to watch Calgary. Well, I guess you'd watch. For me, I'd watch them just to make sure that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Against Braley's other team? No, I don't think so.
Well, it's better than
Braley's other team, yeah.
The redheaded stepchild. Yes, we know how you feel about the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, ratings have come out for Sunday's games. Did you hear about the ratings?
No, actually.
Did you?
Yes, I did, and they were the most, according to TSN, they are the most watched semifinal game ever recorded. Now, we have to keep in mind, I don't know that, you know, when you go back, with the CBC and you go back 30, 40 years, 50 years, when they didn't have accurate ratings, or I don't even know if they had ratings that long ago. So we have to take that with a grain of salt, but it was over 2 million viewers. And this is only English Canada. This isn't including Quebec and RDS. The audience peaked at 3.3 million when it went into overtime, so it averaged about 2 million. Now, if you go back to the West Final last year, which at that point was the most-watched semifinal game, that had 1.9 million, and with the French viewers, it put it at 2.2. So last year's game was at 1.9. This year, it was just over 2 million. And actually, in BC, the game did really, really well. It was on par or better than a Canucks game. It was over 600,000 people tuned in to view it in BC. Wow. So that's pretty good numbers in British Columbia.
I got to say, it's been interesting, too, just word on the street. Everybody was watching this game, and people were really dialed into it. I know that some people the week before, when they were working, you know, managers were sending out emails to let people know what the outcome of the game was when BC was playing Hamilton. So, you know, even that had an almost playoff atmosphere to it. And then to go into the postseason, you know, on a wing and a prayer. And yeah, it's been nice to see the football be that popular.
Hey, guess how many people tuned in to watch the East semifinal?
How many?
You haven't guessed.
250,000.
A little bit more than that. It was 1.1 million. Hmm. That was the average, and they figure it was about 2 million people right at the very end when Kevin Glenn was intercepted to seal the deal. So,
good for them.
Decent numbers, but not as good, obviously, as BC Saskatchewan. But BC Saskatchewan was a much more exciting, high scoring game, and it was on later. It was on in prime time for most of Eastern Canada too. So.
And I just got to say, Toronto, you know, as much as I hate you, clearly from this broadcast, please, you got to get working on your fan base because you should be the most watched team in the league.
Supposed to.
True. Yeah. True.
Well, there's nothing to cheer about in Toronto very much, so.
Well, they won.
Except the Argos. The Raptors, they suck. And the Blue Jays sucked, so.
The Blue Jays are getting better, and the Raptors will be better, but anyhow.
Yeah, whatever.
Can I tell you a little story about this week?
Yes.
Yep.
I went to buy a football.
A
so
CFL?
I went to. Well, this is the thing. I went to buy a football, and I went to a local sport shop, which I will name Sport Mart. And I went in, and I was looking around, and I couldn't find the footballs. And then finally, I found the footballs. Not very many in this particular Sport Mart, and they only had two kinds. One of them was an NFL football. And then the other one was a CFL mini football, emblazoned with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders logo. And I said to the clerk, I'm sorry, do you have any other CFL footballs? He said, well, we've got this one. And I said, over my cold, dead body. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. So
That's kind of harsh.
I know. But, I mean, come on. It's playoff weekend. We're facing off. You know, you got to, like, it would have been wrong for me to buy a Saskatchewan football. You know.
But over your cold, dead body, really?
Well, I was trying to illustrate to him how on a playoff weekend it would be useful to have either neutral footballs, if not a football for the home team. Mm-hmm. And I thought that using more descriptive language might drive the point home.
Also, Sport Mart, please do not sue us.
Thank you. No.
How can they sue us? That's an accurate story.
All right. I'm just trying to be polite about it.
I was in Walmart. Actually, which I don't go to much, but they had a huge number of CFL footballs.
Like, now, there's a certain amount of irony with that.
Regulation size ones, like actually game balls.
Sport Check did too, and that's where I ended up getting one. Mm-hmm. So, it honest to goodness happened, folks. That's a true story.
Unbelievable.
Mind you, Sport Mart, pretty good for ski equipment. There you go. Does that help?
Now they like us again. Okay.
If you need goggles.
So we didn't get any new emails this week in our contest, our Rider Looney contest, where people have been writing in to tell us the moment they knew they were Rider fans. And I've been neglecting to mention this the last few weeks, so I'm going to mention it this week. If you're going to send us an email, send us your mailing address so we can send out those loonies to you. So be sure to do that if you want to share your stories with us, and hopefully we'll have some to read next week. And we're going to – I guess we'll have to – next week is going to have to be the cutoff, and then we're going to have to decide, I think, for Grey Cup, then we'll have to be our week where we decide this and get those mailed out. So,
what's
one more week in the Ryder Looney contest. Well, let's say
– let's say kickoff of the Western Final.
That's right. Kickoff of the Western Final would be good. So get us your stories when you knew you were a Ryder fan. And I know this is mostly for people who live outside of Saskatchewan or even Canada who may not have access to those. So send us your stories, podcast@greenisthecolor.ca. We'd love to hear about them. So send them on in. That'll do it for us this week. You can review us on iTunes. It helps us become more visible. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. We have a Facebook page. We're on the Twitter. Send us questions, comments, and... Well, one more week at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll be here for Grey Cup, won't we?
Well, we'll be here for Grey Cup, sure. But at least one more week in terms of the Riders being alive, so.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that ship has already sailed for me. Sorry.
Yeah. So cross your fingers. Get your popcorn ready. And
chips.
Chips.
Right.
And hopefully we have some good news to discuss next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week.